I'm ready. Are you ready? I want you to, so before I even start, I want you to just lift your hand up to the heavens all the way. And if I know, can just split with me, that'd be awesome. Are you ready? Yeah. Father, we just come before you today, God. I thank you, Father, for what you're about to do, God. I thank you for the lives of women that are in this room, God. Father, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here, God, that you're going to begin to move in a mighty way, Father, in every chair, God. You're going to begin to encounter every woman, God, every male and every female in this room, God. Lord, every age and every stage, God, I declare today by the power of God, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I declare right now, God, that you are going to shift things, God, in the spirit realm, God, all over this place, almighty God. I ask you in the name of Jesus that you begin to flow, God, in a mighty way inside of their hearts. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for what you're going to do. Holy Spirit, I am asking you for encounters, that you would encounter your women, God. For your word says, God, that your word does not return void. But Father, every word that comes out of my mouth, God, I declare is full of glory, God. It will be like a sword, God, that will pierce every heart, that will pierce every life, God. I pray that changes in the atmosphere, God. I declare, Father God, a stirring of hunger for more of you. A stirring of hunger for more and more and more and more and more of you, Father. I declare that today you're going to empower your women, God. You are going to empower your women, God. Empower them, God. Lord, I pray for an empowerment in this house. Yes. Father, and throughout the preaching, I declare that there will be healings. Healings will begin to manifest, God, at the sound of my voice, God. And I declare, Father, that deliverances will begin to take place, God. Lord, at the sound of my voice, God, I hide behind you, God. These are just lips of clay. And Father, I am asking you, God, as I step aside, that your Holy Spirit begin to reign and rule here, God. That you begin to speak, God. Speak to your women like you're having dinner with them, God. Face to face, that you would come with the downloads of heaven, Father God. And that you would begin to minister each and every person here today. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody shouts aloud, amen. Yes. Yes. We will be together for the next 2 days. And the Lord has said to me that many of you, if not all of you, whoever's hungry, all I need from you is an open heart. Because the demand on the mantle that is on my life will begin to expand as you get hungry. So hear me. There is only certain things that I can do. It's going to require your heart to stay open. So this is not an issue of God, because God wants to do it. God wants to encounter you. God wants to encounter you. Let me ask this question. How many of you need a breakthrough? Raise your hand. Okay, everybody, how many of you need a prayer to be answered? Raise your hand. Okay, put your hand down. How many of you feel like you have strayed from God slightly and you're not as close in proximity to God like you would want to? And you say, today, I really want to get close to God. Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you want more power? When you pray, you want more power. So today is so key at what I'm going to tell you. Are you ready? Hug your sister right next to you. Awesome. All right, are you ready? You may be seated in the house of the Lord. All right, are you ready? Are you ready? All right, I'm running. Is that all right? Can I run? 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 I want to talk to you out of the subject of prayer. Can you shout prayer? Can you shout prayer? See, because whether you have a prayer that has not been answered, whether you want to go to a next dimension when it comes to your prayer life, this message is for you today. And maybe today you say, I don't have a prayer life. After today, you will have a prayer life. If perhaps you say, I don't know how to bring a breakthrough, but today I'm going to teach you how to get a breakthrough. Hear what I'm going to say. Why do prayers not get answered? I'm going to tell you why prayers do not get answered. Because for the next 2 days, we will have encounters with God. Amen? Amen. Today's the day of your encounter. Why is prayer not answered? You must know. Because God wants to answer every petition in your life. See, let me start out by defining prayer. Can you shout prayer? Prayer is this. Prayer is simply your spirit inside is induced. It's an induced response of a longing in your heart to commune with God. In other words, this is what prayer is. Prayer is the spirit in you responding to a longing inside of your heart that you want to commune with God. In other words, your heart wants to be close to God. In other words, you want to have an encounter with God. In other words, you want to be intimate with God, and it is your heart that longs for it. So your spirit, it's like an impulse, a longing that is impulsed inside of your spirit so that you can commune with God. Say prayer. See, prayer is about relationship. It is not about a list that you bring before God. I said prayer is about relationship. It is not about a list that I bring to God. Lord, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. No, prayer is about relationship. Can you shout relationship? Shout relationship. Prayer is not a department. Prayer is not an organization. Prayer is not a one-time meeting. It is not supposed to be delegated. Prayer is not optional if I want to or if I need something. Prayer is the foundation of everything that I do. Prayer is the foundation of all the things that I do. Because it is in prayer, shout prayer, it is in prayer that I get strategies from God. It is in prayer that I get delivered by God. It is in prayer that God begins to counsel me. Shout prayer. See, when you get this down, the foundation of your life, you will not be wayward. You will not be up and down. You will not go from conference to conference. You will be steady. You will be immovable. You will have a strong relationship with God. So when you come to church, you don't have to be winded up. Because you cannot have a house of prayer in here if you don't have a house of prayer out there. Shout prayer. Shout prayer. All your success and all of your spiritual growth is going to be connected to your prayer life. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verse 7, I will make men joyful in the house of prayer. He says, I will make men joyful in my house of prayer, which means that prayer is never supposed to feel like it's an obligation. Like it's something that I dread. Like it's something that I have to do. Like it's something that only when I need something, then I'll go to God. Prayer is about relationship. So there are so many people that are hopeless, battling bondages, struggling in their walk with God, bound to fears, bound to depression, bound to discouragement, bound to anxiety, bound to mentally. Yet we are in the church and we're bound. No, beloved, the days of bondage have got to break. The days of bondage have got to break. See, we do more complaining than we do praying. We do more posting than we do praying. We do more tweeting than we do praying. Most people cannot sit in an hour of prayer, yet a sitcom is 99 minutes. We've got to go back to prayer, relationship. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to build an army. I said, we're going to build an army of warriors. I said, we're going to build an army of warriors that will storm the gates of hell and say, devil, you cannot have my city. You cannot have my family. You cannot have my home. You cannot have my kids. Come on, shout prayer. Shout prayer. You know what prayer is? Prayer is the thermometer that measures the spiritual temperature in your life. Show me your prayer life, and I will show you what kind of temperature you got. Because when you're on fire for God, your spiritual temperature is very high. Prayer awakens you. If somebody's asleep spiritually, blind spiritually, deaf spiritually, mute spiritually, prayer will wake you up. Prayer wakes up a hunger that you did not have before. And I prophesy in this house that there's going to be people that are going to wake up in the spirit. You're going to wake up in the spirit. My God, I feel something's going to break right now. Ha, 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 ha. Something's going to break. Something's going to break. Something's going to break. Ah, oh, I feel it. See, hear me. Prayer is the key. When you don't pray, you're lost. When we don't pray, we're blinded spiritually. When we don't pray, we struggle in our Christian walk. And then you've got spirit of Python down your back because he wants to make you a Christian that is miserable. The reason why people are struggling is because they don't pray. We wind up everybody in service. Beloved, the days of that have got to end. You know what the disciples asked Jesus? They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Not how to cast out demons. Not how to preach. They said, teach me how to pray. Because when you pray, there's something about you that when you come out of your prayer closet, power comes out. Glory comes out. Healings come out. Miracles start to take place. Show me how to pray. Somebody shout, pray! Oh, I feel breakthrough. Oh, ah. See, Satan will always take advantage of somebody that doesn't pray. Satan will always take advantage of those that do not connect with God. Because let me tell you something about the enemy. I love war. Satan is not afraid of you coming to church. Satan is not afraid of you carrying your Bible and reading it every once in a while. But Satan's afraid when a man or a woman gets on their knees and begins to seek God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. Shout, pray! Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will. Who's going to answer? Who are you supposed to call? God. And I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you know nothing about. Prayer exposes the heart of God. Prayer exposes the revelation of God. Prayer unlocks and gives you access to things that you could not have access to in the natural. Am I talking to the right people? See, the Bible is full of people that connected with God through prayer. If you look at the life of Daniel, shout Daniel, there was a secret to him. And the secret to his power was his prayer life. He was captive in Babylon, yet not subject to the laws of the king. But he was more concerned of doing the will of God. The secret to Daniel was his prayer. Daniel was willing to risk his life, even die, just so that he can pray. Because you know what? When you don't pray, Daniel understood something. When you don't pray, you're already dead spiritually. You're already dead spiritually. Shout pray. Shout pray. Daniel knew the one that stops praying stops seeking God. Nehemiah, shout Nehemiah. He was a giant in prayer. As a matter of fact, he prayed the shortest prayer. Shout Nehemiah. And his prayer went like this. So I prayed to the God of heaven. That was it. It was like shooting one arrow and hitting the bullseye. It was like shooting one bullet and hitting the bullseye. Oh, I declare that you're going to rise in the name of Jesus and you're going to pray effective prayers, no longer flying aimlessly and shooting everywhere and nothing ever happens. See, God's hand moves through prayer. Peter's chains were broken. He escaped from prison because the church was praying. Hannah gave a baby, had a baby, conceived a baby because she prayed. David won battles because he prayed. Elijah was a man of prayer. Can you shout Elijah? Elijah the prophet that stood before a king and said there will be no rain, and the heavens closed. And when God indicated it, he said now the rain will come, and the heavens opened up because a man prayed. He had power over the elements and the firmaments of the air. Why? Because Elijah's secret was his prayer life. He touched the Jordan and it opened. He caught fire from heaven, and fire from heaven consumed the sacrifice. What was the secret to Elijah? It was his prayer life. We don't pray like we used to, church. We don't pray like we used to. We gotta go back to pray, 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 and all occasions pray. Elijah was, the Bible says, and I love James, and I thank God for James, because if you read James chapter 5 verse 17, James makes reference to Elijah the prophet, and he says like this, speaking about prayer, James, and he says 5:17 in the book of James, he said Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Elijah was a normal man. Elijah was a normal human being. And here James brings revelation to the humanity of Elijah. It says Elijah is just a man. Elijah has passions like you and I. Elijah was subject to the same desires of the flesh like you and I. But one thing he knew how to do is that he prayed. You know what that tells me? That anybody can pray. This is not for just the pastors. This is not for the intercessors. This is for everybody. Lift your hand up and say, it's for me. Shout it, it's for me. Shout it, it's for me. The Bible says that he was a normal human being. But one thing that this guy had, Prophet Elijah, is that he prayed. But he didn't just pray. He prayed fervently. 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 Hear me. This is going to distinguish between one person and the other. Who prays fervently? Lift your hand up and say, I need to pray fervently. Because we all eat and we all serve, but the one that prays fervently, hear me and hear me by the Spirit of God, the one that prays fervently will be years ahead in the Spirit than the one that does not. Years ahead in the Spirit. On one occasion, and you'll find that make reference, 1 Kings, and you'll find in 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah climbs Mount Carmel. He puts his face between his knees, and he begins to pray for rain. He's prostrated before God, and he sends the servant to report what he sees, and the servant comes back with reports, seeing nothing, shout nothing. Shout nothing. Elijah is praying for rain, praying to have a favorable answer, but the servant reports the contrary. I don't know if I'm talking to the right people, but have you ever prayed and you received an answer that is contrary to what you were praying? Have you ever prayed and the answer did not come? Have you ever prayed and believed God, but the answer has not fervently come? Am I talking to the right people? Have you ever prayed and the only thing that comes to you is a process? Who am I talking to? And you say, God, I didn't ask for that. Why are you putting me in a process? Shout process. Shout process. Say process is good. Process is good. It forms you. It shapes you. It molds you. It prepares you. It equips you. It prepares you. It... Come on, somebody. Shout process. You're praying and you're praying, but no result, and there is absolutely no answer. But you know what makes Elijah supernatural? It was his attitude, because he did not evade prayer. He did not leave prayer. He did not stop praying. He kept on praying. Even if the report was contrary, he maintained in faith, believing for a miracle of rain. Even if the answer was contrary, he kept on praying, and he kept on praying, and he kept on praying. Hear me very well. Whatever you are not willing to let go of according to the will of God, until you have the answer and until you have the result, you will see the manifestation of the Lord. Somebody shout, I'm not letting it go. I am not letting it go. I am not gonna let it go. The one that's gonna let it go is the enemy. Because I'm not letting that thing go. I'm not letting it go. Here's the problem that we have nowadays. The problem is that too many give up too quickly. The problem is too many evade. The problem is that too many begin to fade off and you get discouraged. But I came to tell you all the way from Texas, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. I said keep praying. I said keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Keep praying. Keep pushing. Keep praying. Keep come on, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. So, you know what is so powerful about this story? Elijah tells the servant, say Elijah, tells the servant to go back and check and report what he sees. Elijah, hear me. This is what the Spirit of the Lord told me to tell you. Elijah was not just praying for rain to come. He was praying for the servant to see what he had already heard in his spirit. Because you'll find that Elisha, on one occasion when the king of Syria was coming, and the servant said, Elisha, they're coming to kill you. And then Elisha says, God, open his eyes that he may see. Because hear me, nobody can speak a vision that they cannot see. We got too many Christians, you have not seen it on the inside. You're declaring it with your mouth, but you have not. You know, Elijah was praying for the servant to see what he already heard on the inside. You know what we need, pastors? We need to pray that the people can see what we've already heard. We heard revival. We heard the miracle. We heard the movement. We've already heard expansion, but we need the people to see. Because Elijah knew that it was going to be the servant that was going to go and declare the word. You cannot declare what you do not see. You cannot speak of a vision that you cannot see. Put your hands on your eyes and say, God, open my eyes so that I can see what you see. See, prayer is your answer to govern in the spirit realm. Prayer is the answer to change your house. Prayer is the answer to change your city. Prayer is the answer to change your neighborhood. Prayer is the answer to change your children. Prayer is the answer to give you life. Where there is no prayer, there is no power. Prayer, shout prayer. In my city, they called it the cemetery for pastors. Because when we opened the church, it was infested with witchcraft. And they would bring us all kinds of animals. And they're not pets. Because they wanted us out of the city. But I knew that God had called me there. And I heard something in my spirit. So I was years ahead. And revival began to break out in our church. Revival. Shout revival. 7 years of revival. I mean, people really loving Jesus. Shout prayer. Prayer sharpens you. Prayer brings you up to date. See, you don't want to be outdated. I don't understand this, Pastor Leanne. We don't want to be outdated when it comes to our hair. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We update our hair, we update our clothes, but we are outdated when it comes to the spirit realm. You update your cell phone because we don't want the cell phone to be outdated. But what you should be concerned with is that you got to be updated, and prayer will update you to what heaven is saying. Shout prayer. Shout prayer. See, prayer is spending time with God. But it is the most attacked. Because if we call a concert, it will be packed. But if I call a prayer meeting, you want breakthrough. You want the blessing. But you don't want to. Oh, God. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Watch this. Watch this. Shout Naomi. Shout Naomi. Ruth. Shout Ruth. The Bible says that Naomi and her family left Moab. Shout Moab. You know what Moab means? Well, they left Bethlehem. Shout Bethlehem. They leave Bethlehem. Bethlehem means they leave Bethel, rather. They leave the house of bread. Because there was a famine at Bethel. So they go to Moab. Shout Moab. And you know what Moab means? Moab means trash can. Watch this. So they leave Bethel because there's a famine. Sometimes God will stop the bread to see if you're there for the bread or are you there for the bread maker. Are you there for the bread or are you there? Come on, somebody. We've got to go back to pray. Shout pray. Shout pray. Shout pray. Prayer will sharpen you. Prayer will keep you updated. It is the place of miracles. It is the place of breakthrough. It is the place where you kick demons out. It is key to revival. It is the key to moving the hand of God. See, the early church understood this because on one occasion in the book of Acts, the Bible speaks of Peter. And they asked Peter because they had a problem with handing the food out to the widows. So the church asked Peter, can you help us serve? But Peter says, I can't. I will anoint 7 men to tend to the widows, but I cannot leave prayer. I cannot leave the word. I can't do it because I've got to devote my life to prayer. I've got to hear me, beloved. That's why the early church was able to do what they did. Because of prayer, hear me, because the measure of a man, the measure of a woman, and the depth of a woman, the depth of a person is measured by your prayer life. The depth of a person is not measured by how they can preach. The depth of a man and the depth of a woman is measured by the depth of the prayer life. Come on, somebody, if you're gonna give it to him, give it to him with everything you've got. Yes! Shout pray! Shout pray! Prayer transcends eternity. Prayer causes every spirit to evacuate. The enemy knows the power of prayer. That's why it's so attacked. Because you could be at the movie house for 3 hours and you're wide awake. But when it comes to prayer, you're tired. Yeah, in prayer, God will reveal the future living in the present. There are many characteristics of a conquering woman, a lot of them. But one of the characteristics of a woman that conquers, a woman that travails, a woman that prays, a woman that gives birth, one of the characteristics of a conquering woman is that they know how to disconnect from the earth and how to connect to heaven. Tell your neighbor, neighbor! Disconnect from the earth and connect to heaven. The Bible speaks of a woman by the name of Hannah who needed a solution because Peninnah was giving her war. Hannah never went to Eli. Hannah didn't call the girlfriend. Hannah went to the feet of Jesus. Hannah went to the feet of Jesus. Because a woman that conquers is a woman that disconnects from the earth and knows how to connect to heaven. Women that conquer know how to pray. Women that conquer know how to disconnect. Women that conquer know how to pray and run to the feet of Jesus. Women that conquer know how to give birth. That's why you have a womb. You have a womb to give birth to dreams. You have a womb to give birth to that which God has put on the inside of you. Conquering women know how to leave the earth and connect to what heaven is saying. Conquering women know how to disconnect from the earth and connect to heaven. Because I already know what the devil's saying. I already know what the circumstance is saying. I want to know what heaven is saying. I want to know what heaven is saying. I know my circumstance. I know my situation. I know what the devil has spoken. I know the statistics. I know what's going on. But what I need to know is what God is saying. Connect me to heaven. I want to know what heaven is saying. I want to know what heaven is saying. God, what do you say about my situation? I know what the devil whispered. I know the lies that he's been telling me. But what I want to know, what do you say, God? tell your sister, sister, it's time to disconnect and connect to heaven. See, conquering women say, I'm going to get in my prayer closet and I'm not going to move until I connect with the one. I'm going to connect with heaven until I know what heaven says. I was in Chicago. I was flying somewhere. I was going to minister. And I remember when we were in Chicago, we were stuck, not stuck, but it was sort of delayed because there was a storm. And I looked out on the airplane window and it was just pitch black. But I remember when the plane started to ascend. And the more it ascended and the more it went higher, the clearer it got. Some of you are too close to the earth and too connected to the earth, but you need to connect to heaven. You need to say, God, I want to know what you say. I want to know what you're saying. I know what the girlfriend said. I know what Facebook says. I know what Instagram says, but I want to know, what does God say? What do you say, God? Because once you know that, nothing else matters. Because hear me, women that conquer know that the spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm. Hear me. The spiritual realm, shout spiritual realm, is more real than the physical realm. Because everything originated from the spiritual realm. That's why it's eternal. It will last forever. And the Bible says that the physical things are temporary, but the spiritual is eternal. So the spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm. That's what makes it more real. Because let me remind you, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. It says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that, watch this, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. Paul one day said it like this in Corinthians. He said, I was knocked down, but I was joyful. He said, do not lose heart. In other words, what he was saying is Jesus trained me how to look at all the things that I'm dealing with. Jesus trained me how to fight a war. Jesus trained me how to get back up after I've been knocked down. Jesus trained me that when the devil wanted to come and take my life, Jesus trained me how to get back up and fight the good fight of faith. And this guy, one of my favorite parts of this verse, and write it down, go home and read it, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he's writing to a people that cannot write back. So he writes it off and he ends the chapter, not sincerely, Paul, not even love, Paul. But you know what he writes off in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? The things that are not seen are more real than the things that are seen. It's time that women stop being guided by emotions. Because what should be guiding you is the invisible realm. We got too many women that are too emotional. You've got to stop being, with all due respect, beloved, because we love you. With all due respect to you, I know you have them. Get healed. God is here to heal you. God is here to deliver you. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to know how to disconnect from our emotions, because the emotions are not supposed to be guiding me. My emotions are fickle. My emotions are up and down. What I've got to be guided by is by the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And then you know what happens when you understand this? You're not distracted by everything you see. You're not distracted by what you see. And after all, isn't that what faith is? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Of what? You can't see it, but it doesn't mean it's not happening. You can't see it, but it doesn't mean it's not happening. Just ask Peter, when the church was praying without ceasing, when the church was praying, two different locations. Peter is in prison, and the church is praying at a house, two different locations. But the power of God fell where Peter was. And the Bible says that an angel went for him. The gates of that prison door flung open. The chains began to fall. Because hear me, when you are a person that prays, you release angelic activity. You release angelic activity. See, what good is it for you to be physically good, but lazy spiritually? What, I love you. What good is it for you to be so good on the outside, but so dry on the inside? What good is it for me to have it all together and God answered this and God answered that, but you're empty spiritually? I would rather have the artillery of heaven. I would rather have the artillery of heaven. I would rather be connected to heaven, because I know that the external automatically comes when I fix the internal. Everything is one in the spirit realm. Many people don't pray. Some people pray, but their prayer is not effective. Why are there prayers that are not answered? Why does God not respond? Can I help you? And I'm gonna run, yes? Because I wanna minister. Why are prayers not answered? If the Bible tells me in Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you, then why are prayers not answered? I feel this. Yes, Holy Spirit, there are people in this place that you have prayed and you frustrated. You are so frustrated because you want more of God, but you don't know how to get there. And if you open your heart up today, God is going to encounter you in a deep and a profound way. See, the purpose of prayer is for there to be a manifestation. The purpose of prayer is for me to get closer to God. The purpose of prayer, why am I going to pray if I'm not going to see an answer? The purpose of prayer is to birth the answer. So why are prayers not answered? Can I go quickly? The first one, write it down. The Bible says in the book of James, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. James makes reference to three levels of prayer: the prayer of faith, the prayer of persistence, and the prayer of righteousness. The prayer of righteousness is powerful and it is effective. In other words, it's not just a prayer, but the heart from where that prayer is coming. We must be in right standing before God. James reveals the condition of our heart. He says, if the heart is not right, if the heart is not righteous, if the heart is not in right standing before God, he said that prayer will not have power behind it. We pray for miracles for 2 hours, but if the heart is full of envy. We pray for 2 hours for miracles, but if the heart is full of jealousy. You have no reason to be jealous of anybody. What God did for that person, God will do for you. The prayer of a what? Righteous man shall be heard, and it will be effective, because the key to prayer is to be heard. So you know what our prayer's got to be? God, purify my heart. God, purify my heart. God, purify my heart. God, I humble myself under the mighty hand of God. God, purify my heart, because I need this prayer to come in a breakthrough, God. I need you to answer that miracle. So God, I humble myself. Purify my heart. Strip me of envy. Strip me of everything you don't like. Purify it, God. Surrendered heart. Search my heart, oh God. Align my heart to your perfect will. So why does a prayer not get answered? Because the heart needs to be purified. There are people that have been praying for years and there's no response, no answer. But if we open our hearts and we tell God, God, I have offense. I have pain and I feel dry and I've been cold in God. I'm not right with God. I can shout a fit, but I'm not passionate for God anymore. Be real before God. No facade, no image, no filter. Just real before God, because he's a loving father and he wants you to be in right standing with him. Why? Number two, why is prayer not answered? We pray out of the will of God. We pray out of the will of God. God will not respond. We must pray. Our prayers have to be aligned to his will and to his desire. Hear me, we do not pray to change the mind of God. We don't pray to tell him what to do. We don't pray to tell him how to do it. We don't pray to tell him when to do it, but rather when I pray, it takes me to align me into the perfect will of God. It takes me to know the perfect will of God. Write it down, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, but God has revealed it to us by the Spirit. In other words, it is the Spirit that reveals his desire inside of me. God reveals it. See, on one occasion, Elijah responded to something that God wanted to do. So God wanted to send fire from heaven on one occasion. And he was just expecting the will of God. But if I call fire from heaven right here, it's not going to come. Because it's not God's will. I pray according to the will of God. Lord, show me your will. In this last missions trip, I remember I was praying for the people. And when I was praying, I had a vision of an x-ray. And it was really quick. And I saw a back. And I saw the skeletal muscle, the back. And I heard the Spirit of God say, not only was he going to align the people, but he was going to heal back pain. And later on, I heard this report of a girl, a woman actually, who had been in pain and had a disease in her back for 15 years. But the minute I released the word, she says she felt fire all over her back. You know what? I wasn't just releasing any words. I was releasing the will of God. It was the will of God. So we had to pray, God, show me your will. You know why prayer is not answered quickly? Because we don't forgive. When we have unforgiveness, our prayers cannot be answered. The Bible says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, when you pray and you remember you hold something against somebody else, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins. God cannot respond to unforgiveness. God cannot respond to bitterness and offense. And sometimes that offense hides so well, doesn't it? You have to know how to forgive. You have to walk out forgiveness. You have to choose it every day. You have to ask God, God, search my heart. Am I offended with so-and-so? And you know how you know? Because when their name comes up, and then we justify ourselves and we say things like this, well, I don't hate them. Yeah, but you don't like them. That's called mixture. Is this okay? You know why our prayers are not answered? Because we ask with pride. Our prayers cannot answer because pride is there. I'm going to go quickly. In Luke chapter 18, God tells us a story of two men who went to the temple to pray. One of the men, he was a religious Pharisee. And he said, oh, I thank God that I am not a sinner like everybody else. I don't cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I'm not like this tax collector right here. I fast, I pray, and I give my tithe. But the second guy was the tax collector. And the Bible says that the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest and said, oh God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. And then Jesus responds in Luke 18, verse 14, and he says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves shall be exalted. The difference, hear me, the difference between answered prayer and unanswered prayer is humility. Because pride focuses on what I've done, on what I can do through God or for God. But humility focuses on what only he can do. You know why we don't get our prayers answered? Number five, because we ask in doubt. It says, when we don't have faith in God and that he can do it. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Jesus answered and he said, I tell you the truth. If anybody says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Not gonna receive it. Not I hope I receive it. Believe that I have already received it, and it will be yours. Because God does not respond to doubt. God does not respond to your fits of rage. God does not respond to your complaining. God does not respond to your self-pity. God responds to faith. Somebody shout yes. You must believe that what you are praying, because God always responds to a heart that believes. And lastly, number six, Jesus prayed a prayer that was not answered. the miracle working Jesus, the morning star, the bread of life, the savior of the world, prayed a prayer. Not a prayer that was not heard. It was heard, it was just not answered. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus says, Father, let this cup pass from me. Jesus was asking, save humanity without me. Can you do it another way? I don't want to go to the cross. But God did not respond. God did not answer that petition. God strengthened him, but God did not answer because God had a plan. Shout, God has a plan. Sometimes his plan is better than your plan. But the only way that that plan is going to be fulfilled is if you lay it down and say, God, here is my idea. Here is my agenda. But I surrender everything at the feet of Jesus. And let not my will be done, but let your will be done. Can you stand to your feet in this house? How many of you are saying, I need God. I need to change my life. There are areas in my life that I am off. I need breakthrough. I need to, yes, Holy Spirit. You know what I feel? I feel like many of you have to recommit your life to Jesus. You know why? Because some of you have been so distant from God. So I want every eye closed and every head bowed, and this is your time. Forget about everything. This is your time. It's your time. Shout, it's my time. Lift your hands up all the way to the heavens. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I don't want you to make it monotonous. And I don't want you to make it like any other prayer. I want you. And I pray for a stirring of hunger in this house. Some of you will, if you have to shout, Abba. I got saved at the age of 16 years old. And I had an encounter for 3 hours. 3 hours that changed my life. 3 hours with the Holy Spirit that changed my life. Yeah. Every eye closed, nobody looking around. This is your moment. This is your time. Aren't you tired of doing it your way? Yeah. Aren't you tired of trying your way? Yeah. Just close your eyes, lift your hand up. Some of you have to surrender. Yes, Holy Spirit, I feel this, that some of you, God is going to open your womb to be able to birth the things in the spirit realm. For some of you, it's because you've just gotten straight. You strayed from God. For some of you, you want to be empowered in prayer. If that's you, lift your hand up too. And you say, man, God, I want to go to another dimension in my prayer time. I want to go deeper. I want proximity, God. I want to be closer to you, God. For some of you, it will be that. For some of you, it will be, God, can you give me more? I want more of your presence, God. For some of you, you've been dry a long time. For some of you, you've been living on the earth too long and you need to connect with God. How do I do that? It's called surrender. It's called responding. It's called lifting up your hands and say, God, here I am, God. I need more of you. For some of you, you're just so far away. You're so far away from God. But today's the day. Today's the day of salvation. Yeah, kasha de bendeke, harababa se de bendeke, shtikiria, haramas se de bendeke. Who am I talking to? Raise your hand all the way to the heavens. Abas se de bendeke, shtikiria teke. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going to put words. Yes, Holy Spirit. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. I want you to start just telling him right now. Oh, right there. Maybe some of you have unforgiveness, offense for so long, and you've been hiding in the church. But here, God is not wanting to shame you. He's not wanting to embarrass you. He's wanting to protect you because he wants your prayers to be answered. So right there where you're at, with the sound of your voice, begin to release whatever it is that you need God to do. If you need to say, God, I'm away from you and I ask you to forgive me. Today, Father, I repent with all my heart. Can we say that out loud? Out loud. If you say, I want more of God, then just tell him right where you're at. Before I begin to pray, before I begin to pray, you need to tell him right now. Tell him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. So begin to ask him what you need. If you need to forgive somebody, begin to release that unforgiveness. Say, God, I forgive so-and-so. Father, I forgive so-and-so. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. People here that have strayed from God. Who has strayed from God? Just wave your hand at me. Where you say, I feel so far away from God. Can you just wave your hand at me real quick? Just wave it at me. Those that say, I'm so far away from God, can you quickly make your way right here really fast? Those that wave their hand and say, I'm so far away from God, while everybody's praying, those that wave their hand, if you can, if it's possible, if not, that's fine. But I want every person with their hand lifted up and their eyes closed, and I want you to say, God, forgive me. I repent with all of my heart. I am so sorry, God. Today, I give you my life. I am so sorry, God. Give me an encounter with you, oh Jesus.